going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Hey, Colson.
Yes, sir.
Hey, it's Ryan Pulse from the Bears. How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good. Ready to be a Chicago Bear?
Let's go, Coach. Come on, let's go.
Let's go.
Oh, I appreciate you.
Yeah.
Gonna be great.
Let's do it. Oh, we are going to be great. I'm going to hand you over to Coach Johnson now, okay?
Yep.
Someone's getting after their back.
Let's go. What we
hey,
got, man?
Coach Johnson.
Tell
Come
me
on
something now.
Now. Come on now.
We cooking with hot grease now, man. I'm telling you.
Hey, thank you so much, Coach. I appreciate
Smart,
it.
Smart, tough, you're getting. Trust. Explosive. I mean, well, yeah, I know exactly what we're getting, man.
Come on.
You excited?
Yes, sir. I can't wait. I can't wait to
Good.
Be a Bear.
Good. Man, it's a huge – it's the first pick as a head coach, man. It's in, you're exactly what we're looking for, man. Beautiful.
Coach, I appreciate you so much.
I appreciate you, too.
Let's go be great. Let's go win
yeah,
games.
It's a match made in heaven.
We're back with more draft night coverage on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
I love that stuff, man. That's my favorite part of draft night is watching that moment of those kids' dreams coming true. That's the coolest part of draft night to me. And obviously, that relates to the Bears. It's directly related to the Bears. And as a Bears fan, extra cool. But just all these kids, man. And I love when they're in their living rooms. Like, it's cool when they're in the draft room. You know, when they're at the draft and they go up. But I really love when they're, like, in their living room with all their friends and family and their high school coaches and college coaches. That's what the draft is all about to me. I think I misspoke last segment. I said the Bears don't have a third-round pick. I meant to say they don't have a fourth-round pick. And I said if Josh Connerly hasn't been drafted out of Oregon, the offensive tackle, then I wouldn't mind him being a day-two pick for the Bears. Of you pointing out to me he was indeed taken late in the first round, so that happened while I was here yapping on the air and slipped past me, so I might as well good time for me to catch you and well me up on how the first round of the NFL draft went before I get to your calls, your text at 312-644-6767. And before we hear from Ryan Poles and our Bears reporter Chris Emma, both out at Hallis Hall, with the number one pick the Titans selected Cam Ward, the quarterback out of Miami. Travis Hunter, the football player, wide receiver, cornerback out of Colorado. He goes to the Jags, who traded up from number 5 to number 2 with the Browns, who slid down to number 5. They go and they get Travis Hunter there with that second pick. Edge rusher Abdul Carter out of Penn State goes to the Giants at 3. Will Campbell, the offensive tackle from LSU, he goes to the Patriots at number 4. Mason Graham, defensive tackle from Michigan, goes number 5 to those Browns, who traded down with the Jags out of number 2. Ashton Jeanty broke Bears fans' hearts, getting taken by the Raiders at number 6. Armon Membu, the offensive tackle from Missouri. He goes number 7 to the Jets. Tet McMillan, the Arizona wide receiver, goes number 8 to the Panthers. After a lot of buzz that maybe they were trading down out of that 8 spot, maybe even talking to the Bears about it, obviously that did not materialize. Kelvin Banks Jr., the offensive tackle from Texas, another guy that Bears fans had their sights set on. He goes number 9 to the Saints. The Bears go with Colston Loveland, Michigan tight end, at number 10. Mikel Williams, the Georgia edge rusher, he goes number 11 to the 49ers. Tyler Booker, offensive guard out of Alabama, goes number 12 to the Dallas Cowboys. Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle from Michigan, he goes 13 to the Dolphins at 14. The Colts take the other tight end that was on the board when the Bears selected Penn State tight end Tyler Warren. At number 15, Jalen Walker, Georgia linebacker, goes off the board to the Atlanta Falcons. He'll stay right there in Georgia. Walter Nolan, Ole Miss defensive tackle, goes 16 to the Arizona Cardinals. Out of Texas A&M, edge rusher Shamar Stewart goes 17 to the Bengals. Gray Zabel, North Dakota State offensive guard, goes 18 to the Seattle Seahawks. Emeka Egbuka, Ohio State wide receiver, he goes to the Buccaneers at 19. Jahdae Barron, Texas cornerback, goes 20 to the Denver Broncos. Derek Harmon, Oregon defensive tackle, goes 21 to the Steelers. Omarion Hampton, the running back out of North Carolina, goes to the Chargers. The Packers select wide receiver Matthew Golden out of Texas at 23. Donovan Jackson, offensive guard from Ohio State, goes to the Vikings at number 24. Giants trade up to get to number 25, and they select quarterback Jackson Dart out of Ole Miss, skipping right over Shedeur Sanders. James Pierce goes to the Falcons, the edge rusher out of Tennessee, after they traded up to get to number 26. Malachi Starks, Georgia safety, goes 27 to the Baltimore Ravens. Tyleek Williams, the Ohio State defensive tackle, goes 28 to the Detroit Lions. There is Josh Connerly, who I had my sights set on for day 2. Not happening. Oregon offensive tackle goes number 29 to the Commanders. Maxwell Harris, cornerback out of Kentucky, goes number 30 to the Buffalo Bills. Jihad Campbell, the Alabama linebacker, he goes 31 to the Eagles. And at 32, Josh Simmons, another offensive tackle who I was hoping maybe slips to the Bears on day 2 out of Ohio State, he goes to the Kansas City Chiefs. So there is your day 1 recap of the NFL draft. We will, of course, have day 2 covered for you right here on Chicago's Sports Radio 670. The Score, starting with Mully and Haw in the morning. They're joined by Brad Biggs at 7. Jake Butt from the Big Ten Network is here at 8:25. Then on middays with Layla and Marshall, Michigan Wolverines radio analyst John Jansen joins them at 10:25. And Matt Bowen, Score Bears analyst, best in the business at breaking down this sport, he'll join them at noon. So we've got the draft covered for you all the way into the evening. I'm back again tomorrow after Mark Rohde and Anthony Herron at 6. I'll be here with you in this same time slot from 9 to midnight, breaking down day 2 of the NFL draft. Tyler, I'm sorry. You told me where to go on the phones during the break, but after reading off all those names, I just got names in my head. Where should I go for the first call here this segment?
Let's try. I'll bring them up for you here. I think Tony from Gurnee has a really good option.
There you go, opinion. Tony.
So let's go to Tony.
What's up, Tone?
Yeah, I'm thinking that the Bears made the right pick with Colson because he's a better pairing with Kmet than Warren is. So, and really, I think Johnson just wants to get more pass catches, guys that can do something when they get the ball. Not that Warren can't, but he's more similar to Kmet than Colson is. And I like what you said earlier about Colson being a possible replacement down the line for Kmet. But I wanted to talk about, what do you think the Bears should do with their second and third round picks?
They got to get one of these running backs because I just feel like the value drops off after that second. I feel like they got to get one of those running backs and address the offensive line, and specifically that left tackle position. That's what I would like to see them do with 39 and 41. After that, I mean, you could go any number of directions. We have no idea what the draft board is going to look like by the time we get to, you know, 72 in the third round. We don't know what the board is going to look like by that point. I would like to, with picks 39 and 41, get one of those running backs and get an offensive tackle who can come in and compete with Braxton Jones and Kieran Amagaji.
If you had your choice between Travion Henderson and Quinshon Judkins, which one are you picking? Because I think it's between those two, right? No Caleb Johnson?
Yeah, probably Henderson.
Travion Henderson.
Yeah, he seems to be the guy who's graded slightly higher out of those two based on what I've seen. But either one of those guys seems to be like a fine pick if they should fall to you at 39 or 41. Those are the two positions I'd like to see him address with those two picks. But again, it depends on how the board falls. I mean, we're only 9 picks away from that once the day 2 of the draft starts tomorrow. So you can kind of look at it and see how the board might fall to them, just like we did for day 1. But it's still a little bit up in the air. Obviously, we don't know what's going to be available there. Word on the street was that there was depth at both those positions coming into this draft, at both tackle and at running back. So capitalize on that depth and go get guys who can come in here and at least compete for a position and possibly contribute right off the bat. Let's go right out back to the phones. And Ryan from Oak Forest, you're on the score. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, Rami. So I think today is like a good lesson for like football kind of like novices, because we'll learn that like there are 2 different types of tight ends, kind of like there's 3 different types of wide receivers.
Right.
So I'm good where we are at. I think Ben Johnson can kind of transform Cole Kmet into what we hope Tyler Warren could be. But I'm just relieved that the Jets took Armon Membu, because I just feel like knowing Ryan Poles, he would have drafted him and we would have 2 good white tackles in him and Darnell Wright. And we would have to like force one of them to switch to left tackle. And that would have been a little bit challenging, a little bit of a mess.
Yeah. So. I appreciate the call. I've heard, I think it was Ian Cunningham, the assistant general manager, say a few days ago that he thinks Darnell Wright could play left tackle and probably could, maybe could. I don't know. He's a really good right tackle right now, though. And I'd rather just go get a left tackle. And yeah, Membu was a right tackle his entire college career. I think going back even to high school, he's been a right tackle his whole life. So I wouldn't have been thrilled with that pick. I would have understood it. And I'm not 100% against the idea of moving Darnell Wright over to the left if you did make that pick or went and got somebody who's a right tackle and you feel like Darnell Wright would be the better option at left. I'd rather just go get a left tackle. You know what? Just go and get a guy who is that and not have to mold him into that, not have to move Darnell Wright over there. Just go and get a guy who is a left tackle. And if you're getting that guy in round 1 with the top 10 pick, he better be a left tackle who can start on day 1 and be an upgrade on Braxton Jones. But if you're getting him on day 2, I'm okay with him coming in and competing for the job or the position and then seeing where it goes from there. That I'm okay with on day 2, not using a day one pick on there. Text from the 847, I genuinely don't understand the pick from a value perspective. Is the end goal replacing Kmet? I just find it extremely dumb to go for a tight end 2 with the number 10 pick. I'm trying to stay positive. It's just such dumb value. I don't think you're getting a quote-unquote tight end 2. Even though maybe technically you are getting a tight end 2, you're getting a guy who's going to be on the field for a starter amount or percentage of snaps. I gave you the numbers earlier. Under Ben Johnson last year, his number 2 tight end, I closed the window now, his number 2 tight end played somewhere around 50% of the snaps, and his number 1 tight end played somewhere near 90% of the snaps. And they're both on the field for somewhere in the neighborhood of 50% of the snaps.
I think 57%, which was number 1 in the NFL last year.
So that's where the value is. And the fact that this guy is a playmaker and a big target who can get himself open, especially around the end zone. That's where the value is. The value is in playmaker, difference maker, whatever position label you want to put on it, go ahead and put it on it. But the value is in a guy who Ben Johnson seems to think can get his hands on the football and do some things that affect winning. That's where the value is. You want to call him tight end two? Fine. He's going to come in and play starter like snaps. Great point from the 859 in this text. Take a look at the best Bears linemen now. Tooney, Dahlman, Jackson, drafted nowhere near number 10. They can still get a great offensive lineman. Yeah, man, that offensive line, probably, I don't have the statistics and data in front of me, but I would guess that offensive line, more than any other position, you find value and you find starters second, third, fourth round, and beyond more than you do at any other position. I'm told that Ryan Poles is talking, and we'll have it for you here shortly. Let me get in one more call before the break, and then hopefully we'll hear from Ryan Poles after said break. All the way out in Detroit, Steven, you're on the score. What's up, Steve?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
I am coming around the pick. I knew Tyler Warren was linked, and this year's draft class overall lacked top end talent. So it was kind of a bad position for the Bears to be in, you know, drafting 10th. You have to kind of settle for what's available, and there wasn't any team probably looking to move up, especially when Kelvin Banks
yep.
got drafted by the New Orleans at 9th. I think that was kind of like, okay, no more left tackles available. No one's going to probably move up at 10 to pick anybody else. So for what they had to deal with this past year, I'm okay with the Loveland's pick. I don't understand why people automatically assume Komet is getting traded or something. I think Loveland, for his skill set, can line up outside or in the slot.
Yep.
Stretches the field a lot better than, say, Komet. 12 personnel, I'm very, very excited to see what they're going to run, you know, along with Drew Smythe also there. I think it's going to be a lot of mismatches. You know, Ben Johnson wanted his own Sam Laporta, which Loveland is compared to, you know, Laporta. So I'm very, very excited about it. And, you know, I'm willing to give Johnson the benefit of the doubt. You know, I can't imagine fans all of a sudden, you know, turning on Johnson after wanted him to be a head coach for such a long, long time. Thanks, Remy.
Steve, I appreciate the call. And that's kind of where I'm coming from. So I really wanted this guy to be the Bears head coach. I think he's a smart, sharp football mind. So I'm going to trust it. Even though I had Tyler Warren higher on my quote-unquote draft board than I did Colston Loveland. Yeah, Ben Johnson sees something in this, a chess piece that he can move around this board that maybe he didn't see in a Tyler Warren. So I'm going to go ahead and trust that. And if it doesn't work, probably the last strike for Ryan Poles and the first strike for Ben Johnson. If in a year or two we're looking at this and going, Tyler Warren is clearly the better football player of these two guys, what were they thinking? That's the nail in Ryan Poles' coffin, probably. And it's the first strike against Ben Johnson in the first time where we're all looking at him and going, is this guy everything that he was cracked up to be? Is he this football guru and beautiful mind that was sold to us when he was hired by the Bears? But that's a discussion to be had for another day. As far as tonight goes, I'm going to trust in the Bears that they saw something in Colston Loveland that gave him an edge over Tyler Warren. And that trust in the Bears is really a trust in Ben Johnson, because Ryan Poles has not done a lot to garner my trust. And when he talks about probably not a lot of teams looking to trade up, he's right. Like when you look at the board, and unless somebody wanted, really, really wanted one of the two tight ends, Loveland or Tyler Warren, probably nobody was giving up a lot to move up to number 10 for anything else on the board. I don't think people were tripping over themselves for Mikel Williams or Tyler Booker, these guys who went after the Bears at number 10. Kelvin Banks Jr. was probably the last guy that teams were going to trade up for, give value to move up into the top 10 for, and he went at number 9 right before the Bears. So probably not a lot of opportunity at that point to trade down, and they obviously didn't want to give up what it would have taken to move up, as it was heavily rumored that they were considering doing to get up to 5 or 6 and take Ashton Jeanty. So they end up with Colston Loveland, the tight end out of Michigan. Ryan Poles speaking as we speak. We'll hear from him shortly, as well as Chris Emma live out at Hallis Hall. And still time to hear from you at 312-644-6767. It's night one of the Scores draft coverage right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today
with Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
The Score.
We're back with more draft night coverage on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
And we'll squeeze in some more of your calls, some more of your texts before we get out of here at midnight. We'll also head out to Hallis Hall and hear from Chris Emma, our Bears reporter, live on the scene as the Bears select Colston Loveland, tight end out of Michigan, with the number 10 pick in the draft. But wanted to head out to Hallis Hall right now and hear from the man who made that pick, Bears general manager Ryan Poles, in press conferences on The Score, presented by Hyundai and your local Hyundai dealers. Here's Ryan Poles after the selection of Colston Loveland out of Michigan with the number 10 pick.
All right, we'll get started. It's good to see everyone today. First, we want to send our condolences to the McMichael family. I know he'll never be forgotten as one of the Bears' greats, so I want to make sure I mention that. But then, as you saw, we took Colston Loveland at the 10th pick today, someone that we're really excited about, both the staff, coaching staff in the front office coming together, identifying a guy that we really liked, that we thought had a dynamic skill set, create mismatches. I think more importantly, too, is in terms of our offense can create, you know, really beef up our 12 personnel, someone that pairs well with Cole, along with other playmakers, and really creates headaches for a defense to go against. Love his competes, his fire. This kid is, I mean, he's physical, he's tough. He plays the game the right way. You can, when you watch the tape, There's an energy level that comes with him, and you can see it throughout the game, and it's infectious to other guys. What stands out, obviously, the dynamic skill set to separate, but also when you really study him in the run game, the blocking is way better than I think people really realize. Over the last 2 years, studying, I mean, we did the our due diligence with the quarterbacks last year. We watched JJ. This kid stood out as just a different type of player, and I know he's going to add a ton of value to our offense and our entire team. Open up to questions.
Do you have exposure to seeing him live at any point in the last couple of years?
Yeah, I was at Michigan a few times and got to see him. And, again, just an impressive kid. He's young, still has room to grow. That's the scary part with him. So we're excited where he is now, but where he can be.
When you evaluate Ben's vision for what he wants out of 12 personnel and things he can do with them, what do you see as the fit between Ben's vision and Colston's skill set?
Yeah, it's versatile. You can do whatever you need to do. We can run the ball and play physical brand of football. If you match that with a more physical, bigger personnel group, well, you have a mismatch on your hands as well. So it's multiple, and it allows Ben to do what he does best, which one is to have a physical brand of football, but also be, creative and do some things that are going to put teams in a pickle.
At what point in the process?
Yeah, both really good players. There's a lot of conversations there back and forth. Tyler's going to be a great football player as well. Just in terms of what fits what we want to do a little bit better with the personnel group that we have here on our roster. We thought that the combination of what we have was the better fit.
Now, when you guys talk about advantage of your playmaker as opposed to position, so if you could be a playmaker, it doesn't matter if it's a non-Korean position. So, like, what did you need to kind of see from him on and off the field to kind of be comfortable taking a tight end that high?
Yeah, like I said, one, for where he is, the dynamic skill set that he has as a receiver paired with the run blocking, like it's not just one part of his game. It's the complete, it really in totality of what he can do for us. But just when you turn on the tape, it's just there's plays being made constantly. It's a guy that you can feel confident going to in critical situations. And now we have there's a lot of them. So that just, again, puts a stress on the defense.
It's a situation similar to last year where you guys had identified and understood that you guys really, really wanted to get wrong? Or was it a situation where, because of the flexibility you guys have earned through the process of the offseason, you kind of just let it fall and seeing who was the best player at the time?
Yeah, definitely let the draft board kind of do its thing, which is always puts you in a real comfortable position. You're not forcing certain needs, and I think a lot of mistakes could be made there. So we felt confident with the way that it was going to play out. We were looking at the numbers. We've, you know, made phone calls up and back just to kind of see what the landscape was. Did it make sense for us or not? And at the end of the day, the way it fell, we felt really comfortable with how it worked out.
Was there a moment when it really crystallized that Colston was a guy specifically that you wanted to target? Like a moment you can recall and say, like, oh, wow, yeah, we have to have this guy up high on our board.
Yeah. So obviously the tape did its thing. We always want to understand the person and the makeup as well. Another part of our process, we got on the plane and we started moving around the country to see different guys, and we spent time with him, and it was awesome. Like, just wait until he's up here. You'll understand there's something different about him. Highly intelligent. He can handle a big playbook, and he's going to be a rookie, so there's going to be things to go through. But the person, the character, the football makeup, family background, I mean, it's not a joke. Like, Idaho tough. You know, I asked him about his hand strength because not only can you see it when he catches the ball, but when he blocks. And he was like, have you ever put up wire fence in Idaho before? I said, no. that explains, I mean, he's been doing some labor that kind of makes him who he is. And when you watch the tape, you can see that. And when you all meet him, you'll see that as well.
How do you feel about what's on the board right now with where your picks are in round two tomorrow? A couple offensive tackles came off right at the end of round one there.
Yeah. Yep. I feel really good about where the board is. I think there's some players up there that can make a pretty good impact for our football team. There's also a group of guys that we have at the next group that's like really dependable, tough, like it fits everything we need that we believe can come in and help our football team. If that's starting immediately or eventually being starters, we really like the numbers that are there right now.
You forecasted
making calls. Did you come close at all to trying to move up? How close were you considering that?
Yeah, no. When we made those calls up, it took you out. Because I think I briefly mentioned this Tuesday. There's a run coming up here that I think you can make a pretty big impact on your football team. So to give up that for one person, so giving up two for one, like it would probably have been even more than that, but it just didn't make sense.
Ryan, it kind of felt like you had the flexibility, and to Brad's question, going into day two with these next couple of picks, is it safe to assume line either side of the ball are going to be targets for you guys with these picks?
Yeah, I think we're going to do what we've always done and let the board kind of talk to us. There might be some impact players that aren't in those positions, and it's just going to, again, when you start leaning on need and you're going to go down the board and you're staring at this guy that's sitting at the top of the board, it's a tough thing to do in terms of just making an impact on your football team. So
you forecasted a wild early part of the draft. How did this compare to what you were playing out, and what type of scenarios did you have in play that led you to this?
Yeah, a little bit. I think there was some movement ahead of us that was unexpected. But I thought there'd be a little bit more. I guess there was at the end. I think there'll be even more tomorrow as well. So I think the amount of phone calls, some of the movement that we saw, maybe it wasn't like wild, but yeah, it was fun.
Compared to the national championship year, their passing game really took a step back at Michigan last year. How did you evaluate Colston's production and just like the ability to stay consistent despite he had JJ one year and then he had multiple quarterbacks and all that transition last year?
Yeah, that's a great question. Not only So we spend a lot of time understanding the difficulties certain guys go through as you go year to year, as talent around them leaves. And with him, we did feel like there's a level of consistency, and that was a kind of a cool touch point for us too. And I asked him about how'd you handle that? How'd you handle, you know, a younger quarterback or someone that you maybe didn't have like the greatest chemistry or the same chemistry you had the year before? And how he responded to that was just really mature, and it showed good awareness. It showed selflessness. It showed him being a team guy more than just him and his stats, because it went down just a little bit, but you understood why, and the way that he just explained that whole thing I thought was really cool.
When you guys did all your simulations, did you think there'd be three tackles taken in the top nine?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's been just 4 years now that it's a pretty good tool. I feel comfortable.
Ryan, how do you envision Colston contributing to Caleb's development in year two?
Yeah, I think if you look historically, the impact tight ends have had on young quarterbacks is pretty big. So now he's got two of them, plus the other guys that we have on the outside and in the backfield. So I think it's going to be really important. And like I said, when you talk about 12 personnel, you got to match that with usually bigger guys. It creates more space in the passing game. So I think there is a multiplier effect that he has on the whole group.
There's Ryan Poles talking about the selection of Colston Loveland, tight end out of Michigan, with the number 10 pick in round one of tonight's NFL draft. Press conference is on the score, presented by Hyundai and your local Hyundai dealers. They obviously, and I mean, that's going to be what you hear every year after the first round pick in the draft. They love the guy that they got, and not just the football player and the mismatches that he presents. He was asked about Ben Johnson and his affinity for 12 personnel, two tight end sets, and the mismatches that can create, whether you want to run the ball or if you try and go big and prevent the Bears from running the ball, what that can present in terms of mismatches if you want to spread it out and throw the ball down the field. But they also love the guy, the dude, the enthusiasm that he brings to the field, the country strength that he brings with him from putting up barbed wire growing up in Idaho. They really like the guy that they got there with the number 10 pick in the draft, and not just the football player. He was asked about day two, and while he was talking about day two, I looked ahead a little bit to day two, and I've been saying get a running back, get an offensive tackle. When you, and again, nine picks or seven picks between where the draft is now and where the Bears will make their first pick tomorrow. But looking at this board, man, Mike Green, top 10 grade in this draft, the edge rusher out of Marshall, he's still on the board. The fourth-ranked edge rusher in this draft is still there. That's a pick I wouldn't hate if he slipped to the Bears at 39. You got a safety and a cornerback in Nick Amanawori from South Carolina and Will Johnson from Michigan, both first-round grades that haven't been picked yet. So those are also positions of need, or at least where they could use some depth for the Chicago Bears. And if that's the way that the board falls to you, I can be swayed. You know what I mean? As much as I feel like they need a running back, they need some competition for that left tackle position. If you're getting a guy with a top 10 grade, if Mike Green slips to them at 39, you take that guy at a position like edge rusher. So we shall see what the Bears do tomorrow. I'll be here for it. Same time slot, 9 p.m. to midnight, after Mark Grody and Anthony Herron continue the live draft reaction from 6 to 9 during round two. We'll hit a quick break. On the other side, our Bears reporter Chris Emma is out at Hallis Hall. We'll get his takeaways from day one, round one of the NFL draft. Rami Makhlouf with you till midnight right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more draft night coverage on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Here's Rami Makhlouf.
Final segment. Don't worry, we got you covered tomorrow, starting with Mully and Hall in the morning. They're joined by Brad Biggs at 7, Jake Butt at 8:25. and I'll be back with you tomorrow night in this very time slot. Let's go right out to Hallis Hall and check in with our Bears reporter, Chris Emma, who's been on the scene the entire night for night one of the draft, where the Bears take Colston Loveland, tight end out of Michigan, with the number 10 pick. Chris, I imagine good vibes around Hallis Hall tonight, as it usually is on night one of an NFL draft, and the team always got exactly the guy that they wanted, right?
Don't you love it? Every year you come away with that guy that you're stunned was on the board, thrilled was there, an excellent fit. Yeah, it's the way it goes for these drafts. But look, there's a genuine excitement. Ben Johnson sees Colston Loveland as a fit for his offense. They obviously are forming plans pretty quickly for what they can do with 12 personnel, which is a significant focal point of Ben's offense. And I think they feel really good. They had the pick of the litter between the two tight ends and obviously a bunch of other really talented players at 10. And they love getting Colston Loveland.
Were you surprised at the name next to T.E. and Bears at number 10 wasn't Tyler Warren and it was Colston Loveland?
I mean, yeah. I think I was on our draft show earlier saying I thought Tyler Warren was going to be the guy. And when Kelvin Banks went off the board at 9, I thought for sure it was going to be Tyler Warren. But it ultimately comes down to these scouting convictions. I think we as a gen pub that are not privy to what's on the draft boards up in Hallis Hall get kind of lost in the idea of what mock drafts say and what this guy says and that guy. Like, ultimately, it matters what the Bears believe, and in particular, what Ben Johnson believes. And they had a choice. That's a great luxury to have, picking between those two tight ends. And they see Colston Loveland as a guy who's more of a downfield threat, adds more multiplicity, and brings different elements for their offense that Tyler Warren, while a very good player, they see Colston Loveland as the better fit for what they want to do.
I was listening earlier when you were on the draft show with Grody and Wani, and you said that there was a feeling like something big might happen. I don't know if that's an exact quote. I'm maybe paraphrasing there. Were you alluding to them and something that had been rumored all day long, maybe trading up to number 5 to get Ashton Jeanty? Do you think there was any smoke to that fire from what you're hearing, Chris?
I mean, yeah, I think I said it a couple times on different shows with us here on The Score. I thought the trade-up was going to happen, and I didn't think it was going to be for Ashton Jeanty. No, I thought it was going to be for Mason Graham or Abdul Carter. I believe that the Bears were seeking to make that kind of move. I'd been hearing that they were at least exploring the idea of trading up for the last several weeks, and that was my gut feeling up until about half hour before the draft, and I was hearing from different people what was going to take place between the Browns and the Jags, and that was the deal that was struck. And Mason Graham, of course, was the guy that went off the board at 5. And I think that blew up a lot of what the Bears kind of had hoped. They were in a weird place at 10. Like, it was kind of no man's land where you're taking just the best player available rather than kind of controlling your own destiny on having a bunch of really blue-chip talented players there. I think they see Colston Loveland as a terrific fit, certainly. But if you move up a few spots, you got a lot more options available.
And I feel like they're at 10, like you said, sort of no man's land. And especially once Kelvin Banks Jr. went off the board, I don't think anybody was really looking to move up to number 10 and give the Bears some extra draft picks unless they really wanted one of those two tight ends.
It wasn't a great trade-up draft, and I'm sure they would have loved, you know, Colston Loveland probably was going to be there at 12 or 13. I know obviously the Colts went Warren at 14. Yeah, and there's got to be a market for it, right? I'm sure they were making some calls right before, and there wasn't that appetite. The quarterbacks are often the wild card to force significant trades within a draft, and this just wasn't a great quarterback draft. Shedeur Sanders fell out of the first round. Jackson Dart took a trade-up from the Giants for him to go off the board as the second quarterback. Last year, there was 5 quarterbacks taken in the top 12. So that tells you the evaluations were there. This is not a great quarterback class. And this is really just not a great draft class in general. There's only a few guys who are those true blue-chip players. And the term you keep hearing is it's a starter's draft. The Bears got a starter. They got a guy who they hope can be Pro Bowl caliber player in Colston Loveland. So they feel really good about it. And there's reason to be excited.
Yeah, and you use the word starter, and one of the comments I've been getting from Bears fans who don't love the pick tonight, Chris, is why are you using a top 10 pick on a tight end too? And coming into the draft, I didn't want a guy who's going to be a backup or a rotational or a project and might be your left tackle or your left guard in a year or two from now. I wanted them to come in and get somebody who is going to play starter-like snaps and contribute right out of the gates. I think Colston Loveland is going to do that, even though he is technically tight end 2 on the depth chart.
Yeah, I would look at it that way. Like, that's not the way the Bears are going to operate. Ben Johnson ran around 35% of his offense last year with 12 or 13 personnel, two or three tight end sets. It's going to be even more now with Cole Kmet and Colson Loveland paired together. This isn't a tight end, too. This is a playmaker. This is a weapon. Yep. There's so much talk about Ashton Jeanty saying he could be the Bears' Jahmyr Gibbs. Well, the Bears just got their own Sam LaPorta. Like, and I know there's a lot of consternation and fears because they didn't take Tyler Warner. They didn't take a guy who was a clear-cut day one starter. Like, Loveland's going to play a huge role. And everybody who's been enjoying the honeymoon of Ben Johnson, and rightfully so, trust in his vision on this. Ben Johnson got his guy. He had significant influence in this decision, and that's why the Bears are excited. They drafted Colson Loveland in large part because of Ben Johnson's view for what he can do. If you believe in Ben Johnson, and you should at this point, then you should feel really good about this pick.
What are you looking at for day two, whether it's specific names or just positions that you think they'll address, or the board just could fall to them?
Yeah, obviously best player available is going to be the term you're hearing, but you love to cater to your needs. Will Johnson still is there. The medicals are unclear, but that's a guy I'd be willing to take if everything checks out right with 39 or 41. They need a corner. I think they want to address the secondary a little bit better. The running back position as well. You're looking at a running back, I think, most likely with one of those second-round picks, if not waiting to the third. Some intriguing players. I got a guy I've enjoyed watching a lot, too, the Notre Damer, Xavier Watts. He's still on the board. That's somebody I would love to see the Bears go get and add a playmaker at safety, a guy who's a ball hawk in the secondary. So there's some really good players available. Ryan pulls out a wry smile as he looked ahead to day two and picks 39, 41, 72. They're going to be able to get some good football players and impact starters there.
That's Chris Emma. Check out his work at 670thescore.com, covering the Bears and obviously all over this draft. Chris, keep up the great work. Go get some sleep and get right back out to Hallis Hall tomorrow, my man.
Off the lights here as we speak, so time to get out back tomorrow.
There he is, Chris Emma. There till the lights go out. That man's grinding, working. My thanks to Chris Emma for jumping on and all his hustle and hard work out there at Hallis Hall. Thanks to Tyler Farengol on the other side of the glass. Thanks to all of you for listening, contributing to the show. Great, great stuff from you guys tonight on the phones, on the text, on the Twitters. Really, really appreciate y'all. I'll be back tomorrow after Grody and Anthony Heron are in here for round two of the draft from 6 to 9. I'll be back in this very time slot from 9 until midnight. And obviously, draft talk, draft coverage all day tomorrow right here on Chicago's Sports Radio 670 The Score. Rami Makhlouf saying I will talk to you tomorrow night.